couple of places in the Word of God, Luke chapter 9, and then a little later, Luke chapter 14. We'll read both of those together in just a minute, but turn there ahead of time. So it's Luke chapter 9 and Luke chapter 14. 1478 in the Bibles provided for you, and then a few pages later. Beloved in Christ, during the season of Lent, we prepare to celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this year we'll be focusing on thorns, the thorny side of life. And last week, as you know, we were going to start this series, but last week there was a thorn in my flesh, a fever of 102 degrees, which probably isn't that much when you're a young man, but when you're just a little over 40, it really throws you for a loop. I can't imagine what it would do to someone well over 50, but never mind. The thorny side of life, the different thorns we get scratched by or we step on or that just get stuck in us. Now, Jesus suffered many thorns, as you know, on his walk to the cross, culminating in a crown of thorns, as our new banner shows there. He wore that while on the cross, of course. Now, not nearly to the same degree, but like Jesus, we too endure thorns on the road of faith. And today we look at the thorn of following Jesus. Is there a thorn aspect to following Jesus? Which is like asking, is there a cost to following Jesus, being a disciple of his? Is there a thorn? Is there a cost to follow Jesus? To answer that now, let's now read our two passages. Luke 9, 57, as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus replied, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Then moving to chapter 14, the end of that chapter, 25 through 35. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brother and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he's not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, there it is, friends. Did you hear the headings? Did you see them of those two passages? The cost of following Jesus and the cost of being a disciple. As we read them, did you see what was happening? Jesus was warning wannabe followers of his to be cautious in stepping forward, to be followers, to be his disciples. Make sure you understand what you're getting yourselves into when you follow me, is what he was saying. Jesus is saying to them, with commitment comes cost. That's our thorn today. The thorn of following Jesus, the cost. Now, the Luke chapter 9 passage describes a scenario that every modern-day church wishes they had, I'm sure. There's a man who meets Jesus on the road, and he says to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. Isn't that terrific? Imagine faith community being filled to capacity with people like that. I'll follow you anywhere, Jesus. Where do you want me to go? Now, chapter 14 says large crowds of people were traveling with Jesus, all excited, all ready to follow him, all ready to be in the Jesus parade. It would be like people in our neighborhood walking over to our church on a Sunday morning out of the blue and saying to us, where do I sign up? I want to join. It would be like members of our church, you, chomping at the bit to serve in every ministry we have and then some. And if we didn't have it, you'd be offering to start a new ministry, to head it up. Everyone in the crowd is like, where do I sign up? I want to do this. I want to follow Jesus wherever he leads. How do you think we'd respond to that? How do you think ministry leaders, committee chairpersons, council members would respond to that? Oh, yeah, you sign up right there. You're in. Fantastic. Great. We'd be pretty excited. Our volunteer shortage just got wiped out. Reluctant servants for Christ, a thing of the past. You know, the old 80-20 statistic turned on its head. 80% of the work done by 20% of the people. I'm sure you've heard it. Not here. Not this church. 80% do all the work. And the 20% are just little kids who are too young to serve. We'd be thrilled. But Jesus isn't thrilled at all. Look what Jesus comes back with. He says, whoa, back up the train. Let me explain something to you. With commitment comes cost. Are you sure you know what you're getting yourselves into? It's a thorny road following me. I want you to count the cost. Jesus explains to the first person who wants to serve him, if you want to follow me, don't expect any creature comforts. I know you may have heard about miracles and signs and wonders and all that, but I don't own a house, and I walk around a lot, and I depend on the hospitality of the people in the villages I visit. You hang out with me, you'll be sleeping on the hard ground with a rock as your pillow, likely. No place to lay your head. Another person says to Jesus, I'll follow you, but I need to bury my father. To which Jesus says, well, that may be important, and it's very important in Jewish culture. But following me, he says, is even more of a priority than that. Still another person says, I'll follow you, but I've got to go back and say goodbye to my family first. To which Jesus says, well, that's important too, but like this other person, following me is even more of a priority than that. It's costly. Commitment comes with a cost. There's a thorn to following Jesus. Back over to chapter 14, we hear Jesus say all kinds of costly things again. We hear his word, you've got to hate your father and mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, even your own life. That's what it's going to cost you. Now, beloved, don't get hung up on the word hate here. Hate here in the Jewish sense doesn't mean how we use the word hate. When we say hate, we have the emotion of disgust and abhorrence built into it. And the first century Jewish meaning, so Jesus' meaning here, isn't like that. But it does mean the idea of turning oneself away from, detaching oneself from. Still a strong word, but not quite as strong as the way we use it to detest someone we might know. Rather, we could say it like Dr. Seuss might say it. I really hate green eggs and ham. I try them here, I try them there, but I don't like them anywhere. No, I don't hate them with emotion. I just have a simple notion that I will stay detached from them. I will turn away from them. That's more the sense here. Detachment. You've got to be willing to detach yourselves from father, mother, wife, children, and so on to follow Jesus. And we hear Jesus say also, you've got to carry your cross to follow me. Now, what does that mean? Well, they know what it could mean. It could mean martyrdom, being killed for following Jesus, walking in your own funeral procession like Jesus did as he carried his cross. That's how costly this commitment can be. With commitment comes cost, the thorn of following Jesus. Then Jesus uses a couple of word pictures to describe the cost. Jesus says, you don't rush into building a tower without first sitting down and figuring out what it's going to cost. If you do, you might get it partially built, but run out of money and give up. Or take a king going to war. The king figures out whether he can win with the army he has. He first counts the cost. Jesus, again and again, confronts this enthusiastic for Jesus crowd with the question, are you willing to give it all up? To give up everything for me? Have you counted the cost? Do you recognize the thorn of cost? I know you're excited about my Jesus parade, but before you settle in behind the Grand Marshal, are you sure you know what you're signing up for? It's nothing less than a total give it all up for the master commitment. With commitment comes cost. He throws in one more word picture. I don't want you to be like salt that loses its saltiness 12 weeks from now, 6 years from now, 3 days from now. I don't want your saltiness to become bland ever, because you will be worthless to me if all you do is hang around for the Jesus parade and go home when it starts raining. And every so often, maybe feel nostalgic, pull out the old photos on your reel and see what a great time you had for that week or two back in 0029 AD. Following me, Jesus, is so much costlier than that. So think about it. Don't be hasty. Count the cost first. Join me only if you know what it's going to take. Friends, thankfully, we know what it took for Jesus. The Bible tells us, we know that he took the road paved with thorns to the cross, to his death for our sins. For every last sin we have committed, are presently committing, and will yet commit. It cost him everything. His life. And from the Father in heaven, eternal punishment for all of our sin. That's what it cost Jesus. That road filled with thorns. Is that a road we want to be on? A road that costs something. Jesus is making sure that this enthusiastic crowd knows the cost, the thorniness they're getting themselves into. So, what does that mean for us, friends? We're just as enthusiastic, aren't we? We'll follow you anywhere, Jesus. We'll follow you through fire. Really? The Apostle Peter, no less, was sure of that too. Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. And an hour later, he happened to step on that costly thorn while standing around a fire warming his hands. Aren't you a follower of Jesus too? No, Peter said before the thorn could do its damage. No, I don't know the man. Three times he disowns Jesus. He enthusiastically disavows Jesus, a denying that was at least, if not much more, enthusiastic than his insistence that he would follow Jesus anywhere. And so we learn from the crowd, and we learn from a guy like Peter's experience, we learn from Jesus what the cost could very well be, what this thorn of following Jesus could very well be. Are you ready to hear it? taking this thorn, understanding the cost of commitment, first of all, means Jesus has priority in our lives. Plain and simple. Jesus. Priority above everything else. Are you going to take on that thorn? That's what Jesus is saying to all those people. You follow me, I get number one priority in your lives. Above all others. Father, mother, wife, husband, child, friend, above all of them. I'm number one. I am Jesus Christ. Your first priority. Taking this thorn, understanding the cost of commitment, second of all, means every other loyalty we have is redefined. Jesus, as first priority, redefines every other loyalty we have. It redefines how we treat our families, our wives, husbands, parents, teachers, bosses, our employees, our neighbors, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus' priority redefines every other relationship. That's a lot of thorns you have to walk on. A lot of costly commitments to keep. Think of it. Every other loyalty is redefined because of our first loyalty, Jesus. The loyalty of every married man and woman here toward each other. Wives are to be treated in a different way by their husbands because those husbands follow Jesus. Husbands are to be treated in a different way by their wives because those wives follow Jesus. Treated with the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ. And kids are treated differently too with the tender, loving kindness of Jesus Christ. And parents are treated differently too with obedience and respect and honor that Jesus lives out with his own Heavenly Father. And Christian friends and neighbors and co-workers and employees and employers and students and teachers. The way followers of Jesus treat others all changes because of their first priority, who is Jesus. Kindness, compassion, care, service, mercy, grace, and so on. In a word, love, right? It's so different than the world's version of things. The world sees others as a means to an end, as people to be used for your advantage, to lift you up, to get what you think you deserve. Instead, with this thorn of cost in following Jesus poked into us, we do not consider others as better than ourselves. We take on the very nature of servants. For if Jesus is our first priority, and he took on the very nature of a servant, well, that means we do too. There's a cost, you see, when you follow Jesus. He is in priority position, not you, and he demands you be a servant of all. That's costly, isn't it? That thorn, those thorns, hard to take. Selfishness when it comes to others. I mean, that's what the cost is here, isn't it? And I don't know about you, but I more often than I care to admit sneak more than a few peeks back at my old selfish way of living. But you know what the good news is? Even though we mess it up like that and go back so often to selfishness, we know that Christ will forgive us if we ask him, and he will ignite us once again with a passion for submitting everything to the priority of Jesus. Because we know that's the way our Lord and Savior wants us to live. We know he lives in us through his Holy Spirit. He is making us to be people who live that way, the best way, God's way. We recognize Jesus as the priority in our lives, and that must redefine every other loyalty we have. It comes with a cost, a costly thorn, but worth it, surely. taking this thorn, understanding the cost of commitment, third of all, finally, means you walk the road of thorns after Jesus. When you walk the road of thorns after Jesus, you reflect on what carrying a cross could mean. I don't think we reflect on that enough. The people Jesus was talking to would have understood that carrying your cross comment he made. They would have known instantly Jesus was talking about dying, receiving a persecution so strong for loving Jesus that it would take them to injury, beatings, and even unto death. What about us? What might it mean for us? Reflect on that. We might say, well, it would never come to that, persecution or death, wouldn't it? I think it's beneficial to consider those dire possibilities sometimes, no matter how way out there they seem. Reflect and ready yourself for what it could mean. Would I be, for example, inconvenienced because of Jesus? Would I be okay with that? Would I be embarrassed on account of him? Would I be humiliated for him? Would I be yelled at for him? Would I be injured for him? Would I die for him? How far down that list of questions did you get? Well, I didn't get to the last couple, but hey, like I said, it's not going to go that far. Come on. Look at our great country. You know something? We don't have a clue how long we will enjoy the freedoms we enjoy. We don't. Situations around the world can change overnight. Listen to this startling statistic. Reflect on what it could mean to carry your cross, to count the cost, to bear a thorn of cost. According to the Family Research Council, which tracks violence against U.S. churches, they found that hostile incidents against churches in 2023, last year, more than doubled the number of incidents from 2022. And was more than 8 times as many as the group found in 2018. The council suggests that vandalism against churches may be a sign of the culture's increasing irreverence for places of worship and the Christian religion in general. The report concludes, Americans appear increasingly comfortable lashing out against church buildings. And that points to a larger societal problem of marginalizing core Christian beliefs, including those that touch on hot-button issues, political issues, related to human dignity and sexuality. The author of the report said that a message is being sent out more and more, and it is one of religious intimidation. A growing disdain for Christianity and for core Christian beliefs. More and more, the message is sent. Churches are not wanted in the community and not respected in general. When will that happen here in the U.S.? This report was about the U.S. It is happening. When will it happen here? West Michigan. That persecution, physical persecution, becomes a cost we too will need to bear. When will that happen? It's not fun to think about that. Reflect on that, though. But, beloved, that particular thorn may very well mark us one day as true followers of Jesus Christ. Think about that. And friends, that thorn already marks so many around the world. Millions are persecuted. Story after story after story coming out of those countries, like Nigeria, North Korea, and many others, where there already now is and has been persecution for so long, so many carrying their cross to martyrdom. A thorn of following Jesus. Surely this means for us, reflecting on the reality of persecution, and it always means for us praying fervently for those carrying their cross, even unto death, that they'll remain strong, remain committed, remain eager followers of Jesus. And friends, but we don't receive this thorn without good news attached, right? As is the case with every thorn, this thorn too, because of Jesus, who took every thorn upon himself, this thorn one day is gone. Oh, we'll still follow Jesus, but this thorn in the new heavens and the new earth, this thorn in the new creation, is completely transformed. What hope that gives us. What hope that gives to those persecuted for following Jesus today. Listen to that hope. Isaiah 55. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you. All the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper. And instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. Isaiah tells us this thorn will be transformed. We'll still follow Jesus, but we'll do it in a place where there's no opposition, no persecution, where every priority is Jesus and every other relationship we have has been glorified into a perfect one. That's on the way. We hope soon. In the meantime, Jesus said, you have to carry your cross. You have to count the cost. You have to endure the thorn. And heaven, what Jesus opened up to us at the cross and resurrection, heaven is the reason why. No more thorns there. So we carry our cross, count the cost, endure the thorn now. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you that you speak to us from your word. Thank you that we realize that even in following you, there is a cost. Turns out it's an incredible cost. We're thankful that you've given us the truth that we are to have you as our number one priority. And there's a cost to that. And that you've also changed every other priority relationship in our lives, that first priority must transform every other one. And we're thankful, too, that you remind us to count the cost, to carry our cross. Remind us of what that could mean. Help us to think on that, to get that in our minds and hearts, and know that that's a possibility. And in the meantime, also, to be praying for those who right now are enduring that carrying of their cross, even unto their own martyrdom. So, Father, help us to be prayers for them, to lift them up regularly in our prayers. As we count the cost, as we carry our own crosses, as we endure the thorn, we pray for others who are really enduring that thorn even unto death. But Father, thank you for the good news that because of Jesus and the road of thorns, he alone was on. Thorns we could never take ourselves. Thank you that because of what he did, we look forward to one day a place, a new heavens, a new earth, a new creation, heaven. We look forward to that place when we'll follow Jesus, but no more thorns. No more thorns. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.